So I just love the seeing how God moves and connects things like that. Singing that song in preparation for the focus of our text. And the focus of our text today is going to be the theme text today. You can go ahead and turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But before we get started with that, I would like to open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll stand up and read God's word together. Father in heaven, we do give you thanks, Father, for this day, for this time that we have to come and worship you. But most importantly, as we come to prepare for battle, we pray, Lord, that you will open our minds and our hearts to receive the truths of your word. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak, Lord, that it would be your words.
Yes, Lord.
That I would decrease and that you would increase, Lord. And that all that I say would be acceptable in your sight, Father. Use me, your vessel, for the edification of your people. And it's in the wonderful, magnificent, and glorious name of Christ we do pray. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Let us stand and take a look at our text here. First Corinthians chapter 16, and my version is ESV here. It's a little bit different, but not much different. But I'll go ahead and read according to what most people probably have is the KJV here. And it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quick you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Amen. You may be seated. And just a little background here, what we're dealing with is that this is a letter, 1 Corinthians, a letter that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. This is a church that he loved and was dear to his heart. And so we come to the close of this letter that is broken up into 16 chapters. Now here at the end, this is not an unusual thing for Paul to give these final instructions before he closes his letter. But it's interesting. It's interesting in these final couple of verses from verse 12 to verse 22 that Paul drops in this highlighted verse, verses 13 and 14. He says, be watchful. Now you may say, well, watch out for what? What am I needing to be watchful or be on guard for?
Big brother, that's good. Be watchful.
And Paul is saying this because he's not talking about being watchful for any physical attacks. He's talking about what's going on spiritually. And how we know this is if you read all of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that Paul is addressing some issues that the church had written to him about. And the essence or the root of the issues they're dealing with, they are physical because the church was dealing with disunity. They were dealing with sexual immorality. They were dealing with idolatry. They were dealing with issues in worship. They were dealing with doctrinal issues. And so you look at these things and you may say, well, there could be just a simple rational solution to these things. But that's not the case with spiritual issues. So the root of these issues were spiritual, and they had to be dealt with the word of God.
Speak, brother.
But not just the word of God, but the power of his spirit in order to transform the people. And so that's why Paul is writing to them to address these issues that at the root were spiritual. He's telling them, after all that I've written to you right now, make sure that you are watchful.
Watchful.
Watchful for what? Watchful for the enemy. And as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we have to be ready for battle because the enemy is present and real, and he is busy. And the words that Paul uses here in the verses 13 and 14, be watchful, stand firm, these are militant actions. And if you read other letters written by Paul, you'll see that he's always spiritual minded.
Speak, brother, speak.
Talks about putting on the full armor of God. Well, that is a spiritual armor that he's talking about putting on there. The fruits of the Spirit. Paul is always mindful that we've got to be we have to realize that there's not just a physical realm, but there's a spiritual realm, and there is a battle going on that's waging against our Father who art in heaven and Satan.
Big brother.
So we have to be on guard against this opposition. So I have three key points to share with you this morning that come from these two texts. The first is a call for defensive action, a call for offensive action, and a call for consistent action.
All right. All right. I like that. Defensive, offensive, consistent.
And first, in being defensive, I like to think not only just of soldiers, that they have to be trained not only to be on the defense to defend against the attacks of the enemy, but they also have to be on the offense to be able to attack the enemy.
Big brother, always ready.
So they have to be on guard, always ready.
Big brother, speak.
But I also like to think of a boxer. A good fighter is one who can not only defend, but also offend. Or you think about the game of basketball, that you have to be able to switch. You know, when you have the ball, you got to be on the offensive, but when you don't have it, you have to be on the defensive.
That's right.
So there's a constant switching that has
talk
to go
to
on.
Us. Talk to us. Talk to us. All right.
In verse 13, we have two key things that show up here about being on the defensive, a call for defensive action. The first is to be on guard. As we know in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be of sober spirit, be watchful. So we not only have Paul telling us to be watchful, we have Peter. Be watchful. Your adversary, he's being very clear here, no oblivious or unclear language here. He's very clear. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
Big brother, that's good. That's good.
He's eager and hungry to take down God's people and to keep those who aren't a part of God's army from enlisting into the service of the Lord. We also see in Luke chapter 22, verse 13, where Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. The same is the case for us.
Big brother.
That the enemy seeks not only to devour, he seeks to sift you like wheat.
Amen. Sift you.
So it's important for us to be on guard against the enemy. But being on guard, being on alert, is not something that we are physically unaccustomed to doing. You may not have known this, but everybody's heard of ADT, haven't you? The security system. Yeah, they're the largest company in the U.S. and in Canada. They have 6.5 million customers. So these are 6.5 million people, including myself, who are being watchful, being on guard against those who may try to attack their valuables, their investment. And this is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Big brother, you ready?
But let me tell you something. God has given us a security system.
Big brother.
And it goes by the name of ADE, always detecting the enemy. But the thing that you have to know about in a security system is that you can have it installed, but you have to activate it. And if you don't put in that code and activate that system, then it's not going to work.
Activate.
The way that in which we can activate the system that God has given us is by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not glorify the desires of the flesh. Not only that, but God gives a clear example of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit in a life that is on alert for the enemy. Psalm 1, blessed is man walks not according to the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but what his delight is in the Word of God. When you're delighting in the Word of God and reading the Word of God and walking according to the Spirit, then you can be on alert.
On alert. Help yourself, brother.
Another example I think of is Spider-Man. Everybody knows about Spider-Man. When he got bit by that spider, something changed.
Yeah.
You know, he started being able to sense enemies coming around. And when we get the Spirit of God and activate that system, then we can start sensing when the enemy is present, when there's a certain temptation that is around us. So when somebody says something that we like, see, I think that's the spirit that's trying to hurt me, trying to put me down. You know that old saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not hurt me? Words are harmful. And we have to be on guard to know that when something is said that may be harmful, we have to go to the Word of God and sometimes speak truth to ourselves so that we won't believe those lies. Because the devil is after our minds. And he wants us to focus on a key thing he wants us to focus on. He wants us to focus on the restrictions that God has given us rather than the unlimited things that he has blessed us to do.
Speak, brother, speak, brother.
One thing that I think about when in thinking about this truth is the fruits of the Spirit.
Speak, brother.
God has said you can have as much as you want of all these fruits. But yet Satan will come to you and say, well, look at these restrictions God's giving you in the Ten Commandments. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't say this and you can't watch that. But God has given us a bountiful array of fruits that we can do.
Help yourself, brother. Help yourself.
Go back with me to Genesis 3 in the garden, or Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Now, you remember that God had created man and woman. He put them in this garden. He said, you can have at it. Everything that's here, you can have at it. That's just one tree that I don't want you to mess with.
That's good, brother.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else, have at it, enjoy it. To God be the glory, but just stay away from this one.
This one.
Now notice when the enemy comes in and he talks to Eve, he gets straight to the point. He's not focused on all the stuff God said you can do and all the stuff that you can have. He's focused specifically on those restrictions.
Restrictions. Speak, brother. Help yourself.
Because he wants to attack that mind.
You go help somebody up in here.
He wants them to focus on the restrictions rather than the liberties that God has. And so, beloved in the Lord, yes, there are things that when you come to Christ, you can't do.
Speak, brother. Stay away from something.
And that's okay because God knows what's good for us. He's like a parent. Children, obey your parents. Because there's certain things that they have wisdom about that they tell you not to do. And you don't understand. You're like, I just don't know why I can't do this, why I can't have that. But you have to realize that God's thinking is different than ours. And he's our loving parent. And that he's not going to instruct us to do something that's going to be harmful. He's not going to keep something from us that we don't need. So it's essential that we not focus on the restrictions, but focus on our liberties. And when we come to the Lord, this is not to say that we can't come to the Lord asking him for healing and increase in finances and other things that may be ailing us or causing us to be hurt. But the thing is, as Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we are to come to God with our needs. Come to God with your requests. Come to the altar with your requests and with your needs. But don't you dare be that's all that you come with. We are to come and give God thanks for the things that we can do.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You may be sick, but there are other things that are functioning in your body. You may not have the job or you may not have the finances that you want, but you do have money. You might not have as much food as you would like, but God has not left you hungry. So we are to give God thanks for all the things that we currently can do.
Speak, brother, speak.
But continue to pray for him for those things that we want. But we have to give God thanks along with prayer and
help
supplication.
Yourself, brother.
So saints, a call for defensive action. We have to be watchful. We have to be on guard.
Let go.
But that's not only what he says here. He also says, stand firm in the faith.
Stand firm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
In the faith.
Be firm. Be firm. Be strong.
As a soldier in the army of the Lord, you have to be immovable. You have to be solid and unyielding in your faith to the Lord. We have to be deeply rooted like a strong tree.
Speak, brother.
There's this island that's called the Island of Baran.
Well, hey.
And it's a tree there that they've called the Tree of Life. The reason why the tree has got received this name is because, you won't believe this, but this tree has been in the middle of this desert. It's the only tree there. It's 32 feet tall. It's been there for over 400 years. People can't understand why this tree has been able to thrive this long in this isolated, extreme condition, temperature conditions. I mean, it is miles and miles away from another tree. Well, as people studied this tree and found out the type of species that it is, that it has extremely deep roots.
Deep roots.
These roots go as deep as 165 feet in the ground. So these roots have a strong and deep root system. And like this tree, saints of God, we have to be strongly and deeply rooted in the Word of God and in our faith. Because otherwise, as Psalm 1 says, we can be swayed by the winds of the world and the changes of the culture and the things that Satan brings our way. But we have to be deeply rooted so that no matter what storms may come in life, no matter what sickness or troubles may be brought upon us or temptations that come, that we can be deeply rooted in our faith, knowing that no matter, I think I need the three Hebrew boys to help me preach this thing, that no matter if I am put in this lion's den, in the fiery furnace, thinking about the wrong story. No matter if I'm put in this fiery furnace and God does not deliver me, that God is who He is. He's able to deliver me. But even if He doesn't, I'm still not going to bow to another God. So be encouraged that although things may take a long time to change, if they change, just know that God is faithful, and that no matter what,
faithful.
He is good.
He's good,
and His mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
And the key Hallelujah. Thing is that when things aren't changing and we're confused and we may be frustrated, that's why we have to believe that, as Paul says in Romans, all things, not some things, not one thing, not two things, not every other thing, but all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So trust the Lord. Stand fast and firm in your faith. And don't be shaken by the winds of the world. Don't be shaken by the temptations the enemy brings. Don't be shaken by the doubts that he may speak in your mind that God doesn't love you and that God isn't good and that God doesn't care. Don't allow your circumstances and the fact that God may not be acting right now to determine or cause you to redefine who God is, how He acts, how He works, His character. That's why we have to be firmly rooted in the Word and remember that what the Scripture says about God is what's true, regardless of what's going on at the present time in our life. So as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we have to realize that there is a true spiritual battle going on.
Speak, brother, speak.
And we have to be on the defensive. So we got to stand guard. We got to stand firm. But also, there's also a call for offensive action. We see this in the latter part of verse 13. Be strong, be courageous and strong. Be strong and courageous.
Big brother.
Go back with me to the end of the book of Deuteronomy.
That's the word. That's the word, bro.
Here at the end of Moses' ministry of leading the children of Israel, there's a transition of power that takes place. Transition of leadership. Moses no longer the leader, but now it's Joshua.
Big brother.
Now, if I could put myself in Joshua's shoes, I would probably feel a little bit maybe uncomfortable. Maybe have some doubts or uncertainties.
Big brother.
Because Moses has been with us for so long. We've seen God act in so many miraculous ways. He listened to Moses. He walked with him.
Big brother.
And I think before Joshua could even, as you know, God knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows what we're saying before we even say it. We don't even have to say it. God knows what's on our mind. And I think God lovingly comes to Joshua, as we see in Joshua chapter 1.
Speak, brother.
And he says, Joshua, basically before we get started, I want to let you know that just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to help you lead these people. I'm not, I haven't brought you this far to leave you. So I'm going to be with you. So don't worry about it. What I need you to do is I need you to be strong and courageous. I need you not to be afraid nor dismayed, because I'm the Lord your God and I am going to be with you. The same charge that he gives to Joshua is the same charge that he gives to us. Maybe you are new to Christ. And there are other people who around you don't know him. You may feel isolated or abandoned, but let me tell you that the Lord your God is going to be with you wherever you go. You have to be strong and courageous. As Christians, we have to be strong and courageous in the midst of a dark world. God has called us to live countercultural. He's called us to do things differently. But we have to be strong and courageous. There's no need for us to compromise. There's no need for us to try to make things a counterfeit of the world, but that we are to stand firm and follow what God has commanded us to do.
That's good, bro. That's good. Stand firm.
God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. And as we know, as you continue to read the book of Joshua, that is exactly what he does. He doesn't waver in that. He continues to be strong and courageous, and God does mighty things through the leadership of Joshua. When I think about being strong and courageous, well, one thing that comes to my mind, it is a funny example, is the Wizard of Oz and the lion. You remember the lion? He's talking about if I could be the king of the forest and he was lacking courage. Well, let me tell you something about... Well, think about everybody. I'm sure everybody's seen this movie, young and old. It's you know, a classic. But the thing about the lion, if you go back with me, did he get anything? Did anything inherently change about him by receiving something? No. As we know, the wizard was pretty much a crock, and he wasn't he wasn't really a wizard.
You communicate with somebody.
But the thing is, what changed about this lion is that he believed that he wasn't the king of the forest. He believed that he didn't have courage. But it wasn't until he started to walk in the reality of who he was. When he started to walk and be courageous, then he realized that, wait a minute, I've been a king all along, but I just haven't been really walking in the reality of my calling.
Help yourself, brother. That's relevant.
And unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we have a lot of casualties or POWs, to go back to the war language, because there are people that are walking in the reality of their calling to be a child of God. God has given us the spirit of power, speak, not of fear.
Speak, brother.
God has given us his Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And it's through that power able to have self-control.
Thank you.
The issues that the church in Corinth was dealing with, we're talking about disunity, a lot of times that has to do with not being humble, being prideful, and not having self-control. But those things are able to be changed by the power of the Spirit. So once we start to walk according to the Spirit, according to what God has commanded, if there's something that we need a change to take place, maybe we have an anger problem, and the solution to that isn't a physical thing. It's going to take some prayer and reading the scriptures and asking the Spirit of God to really, really change you.
Apply the word. Apply the word. Praise God.
That could be the root of the disunity, of the lack of self-control. And the only way for that to be transformed is through the power of His Spirit. But the thing is that as we are fighting this battle, God has given us the ability to live with victory, but a lot of people aren't living with it. They're living without victory because they don't realize this essential access to this power that they have, which is the Spirit.
Amen.
You've got to activate that system in order to it to be active in your life. And that's when it comes back to living a Spirit-filled life. Because in order to live this life, one has to be rooted in the Word of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So this power to be courageous and to be strong is not something that you can do in and of yourself, but it only comes from asking God for the strength and for the power to be able to do it. It's not something that we can rationally explain. As we see the Bible, in a lot of ways, it's not a rational book, because there's
Amen.
A lot of irrational, unexplained things
Amen.
That happen. That's where people get in trouble and trying to rationally explain the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
All right, brother.
It's a supernatural spiritual thing that we can't put into test tubes and figure out that this is how it happened. It's an unexplainable thing that has to be believed by faith.
By faith.
And by faith, we have to believe that the Word of God is true. And by faith, we can be courageous and strong. But we have to. It's essential that we ask God to give us the strength to change. And I promise you, just as God says, if you pray for wisdom, He'll give it to you. If you pray for God to help you change, then He will do it through the power of His Spirit. But we got to make sure we're walking with Him and in line with Him in order for that to take place. So, beloved in the Lord, we've got to be on the offensive. And God has not only given us His Spirit, but He's also given us weaponry in order to fight this battle. As we have the full armor of God He's given us. And one of those essential weapons is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's one thing I like about Paul. He's very clear about things. I'm not going to just let you try to say, well, what in the world is this sword of the Spirit? He's like, it's the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. You don't have to have any confusion about what I'm talking about here. So you got to get yourself in the Word. And that will help you to be strong and courageous. Now, go back with me quickly into the Gospels and going specifically to the temptation of Jesus. You remember Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan came to tempt Him. But what did Jesus use in order to fight that battle? He used the Word of God.
The Word.
And if Jesus needed the Word of God to fight that battle, then
you know we need.
I think we definitely need the Word of God to fight our battles.
Say
amen.
That,
another thing to let you know this is that you can ask Joseph, you can ask Job, you can ask Jesus that Satan is going to come after you. You see, like Job, we know from reading the beginning of that story that Satan had asked to have of him. We know from looking at Joseph's life that sometimes things can be going great for you, and all of a sudden, there's just a dramatic change. Potiphar's wife lied on him, and That's the instance where not only did his brothers turn against him, but now he's being successful, and all of a sudden, he's in prison because somebody had lied on him. And Joseph could have said, well, why should I worship this guy when he's allowed this to happen to me?
Speak, brothers, help yourself.
And he's stuck in prison.
Go help somebody.
And the cupbearer and the baker, they forgot about him. He had helped them out and they had forgot about him. And he could still say, he could have still rejected God. He could have just said, you know what, I'm not gonna have anything else to do with this guy because he obviously is against me. Look at this. Bam, 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 bam. One thing after another. But I'm telling you, if you wait on the Lord, just as Joseph, and not waver, but to stand firm in your faith, to be strong and to be courageous, then eventually, like God did with Joseph, he delivered him out of his trouble. And he exalted him and used him. And I love what he says. He said, you made a minute for evil. The enemy does mean the temptations and the oppositions and the strongholds he brings against you for evil. But God means it for good. So just know that the enemy is going to come after you. And that's why we have to be prepared for the battle. We've got to put it all on. And so we look at verse 14, we come to our point of a call for consistent action.
Consistent.
We have to be on the defensive and the offensive, but we also have to be a call for defensive action. It says, let all that you do be done in love. Now, this definitely begs the question, well, what is love and what does love have to do with being in the army of the Lord? What does love got to do with it? I forgot who I was talking to. I know y'all know what I mean when I say that term. Well, as Paul's giving these final instructions, he says we ought to do all things in love. And if you have a question about what love is, then all you have to do is flip back a few chapters, looking at the famous chapter of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
All right, brother. Come on, brother. That's
Paul
good.
Specifically there communicates what love is. He mentions that love is patience. So to do all things with patience. Love is kind. Do all things with kindness.
All right, brother.
Love does not envy. So do all things without coveting or envying the things of your fellow brother or sister. Love is not boastful. So when you serve people and when you're doing things, don't be boastful and be prideful to say that it's because of me. But we all have to always point back to God. Love is not arrogant. So we're not to be prideful and haughty about maybe the success that we have and the position that we have in service in the church, or because maybe our education level is a little higher than somebody else. But that we aren't to be arrogant or boastful or even rude.
To the Lord.
That goes back to the way we use our words. But also body language, because people can be rude with their body language.
All right. All right, brother. All right. God bless you, brother.
And love is not insistent on its own way. So don't be a know-it-all. Don't do things like you know everything.
All right, brother.
One way, I just remembered that, I remember being in school, and one way that you see this in school, and all you kids who are in school probably sense that, there's two ways to ask a question. You ask a question because you really want to know something, and then you have those others who ask questions because they just want to show off how much they know.
All right, come on, brother.
We're not supposed to do that. We're not to be a know-it-all. We're not to be open to other people's opinions or suggestions about how to do things, even in the church or on the job. We have to be open to realize that God tells us not to lean upon our own understanding. So even in our life, how we raise our children, our marriages, even in working, that especially when you're in a position of authority, it's very difficult not to think that you know it all. Your way is better than somebody who is superior to you. But you have to realize that, especially in the church, that God works through all of us. He's given us all different gifts. And our thinking, and it's beautiful because we all think differently. And we have to be open to allowing people to use their gifts so that those unique things that you didn't think about or know how to do, that person can actively contribute to the furtherance of the gospel and the building of God's kingdom, as we talk about the church, or even in your workplace, the ideas of fellow co-employees in different meetings and so forth. So don't write people off because you already say, well, I know this is the best way to do it. But be open. And that's having a spirit of humility. To humbly say, you know what? I don't know it all and I need help. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to ask for help because it puts you in a vulnerable position. But we have to be dependent upon each other. That was one of the things that was causing disunity in this church, because they weren't being humble. They weren't being willing to be dependent upon each other. But they were having strife going on. And also that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. So we are to always rejoice in the truth. Not rejoice in wrongful things being done, but we got to rejoice in the truth when good things happen for other people.
Speak, brother. Good.
Love bears all things. So this brings up a crucial point as it relates to being on the offensive and defensive. Because as you're fighting this battle and going through your different struggles and going through your various circumstances and hardships, that we also have to not only deal with our own things, but we have to consistently be loving and being open to serve our fellow brothers as well as Amen. They're going through Amen. Their things. In the military, there was a term used during the time of battle that was called hold the line. And when soldiers heard this, they knew that while they were still defending and being on the offensive, that they had to hold the line and keep the enemy from breaking through. This was a consistent position that they had to hold. So this is very difficult because you're not only being on the defensive and offensive, but you got to hold the line. You got to be consistent. And so God's hold the line command for us is love, that we have to do all things in love. So that while you're still being watchful for the enemy, while you're still being watchful, while you're standing firm, while you're being strong and courageous, you also have to do all things in love. And as we've seen in 1 Corinthians 13, and I encourage you to read through it all the way, it gives you the definition
Amen.
Of what love what is.
Love. Amen. Agape love. Agape.
We also see a great measure of what love is in Philippians 4 when we look at what Christ has done for us by humbling himself and dying on the cross, and we are to have that same attitude
Amen.
Of love. But lastly, when it comes to love as well, flip over with me to John chapter 13 real quick.
Big brother.
In John chapter 13, it's the latter part of it, verses 31 through 35. And the scene that's going on here is this is Jesus with his disciples prior to his crucifixion and prior to his resurrection.
Speak, brother.
And this is kind of him, in one sense, giving his parting words to his fellow disciples. And this is a significant verse because this is where Jesus gives a new commandment to his disciples. And I'm going to specifically just read verse 34. So it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Amen.
So it's also essential that we do everything in love, because this is the way in which people will know that we are God's people, that we are his disciples. This is one way in which we get people to go from the army of the enemy to enlist into the army of God and become his soldiers.
I like that. Praise God. Enlist in the army of God. Enlist.
You see, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as you read those verses 31 through 34, you'll see that a number of times it specifically says that, you know, I'll read verse 31. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. In verse 32, if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. And so the Father and the Son have this thing going on where they glorify each other.
Big brother. That's good.
And the word glorify means to advertise. It means to put on display. So God puts the Son on display, and the Son puts the Father on display, and then later on the Holy Spirit gets in it, and he puts the Son on display. Now, to display or to advertise, we see this all the time. On a shirt that somebody wears, if they have that little guy on the polo guy on the left hand side, then you know that that's a polo. If somebody's walking around with a shirt that has a check on it on the shoes, then you know that that is Nike. If you see a guy doing like this on a shirt, you know that that is a Jordan brand. These are ways that companies advertise themselves by coming up with what's called a brand identity. There's a mark, there's a stamp that clearly distinguishes that this is my product, and there's no way for you to not know that this is my product. This comes from automobiles, clothes, everything. Companies come up with a mark to specifically identify themselves.
Speak, brother.
And the Trinity has an advertising agency. But the thing is, they needed some salespeople in order to talk about this advertising agency. And so that's what Jesus is doing here. He's telling the disciples that I'm about to go, but I need you to tell people about this advertising agency and become salespeople, part of this agency. And that's what our job is to do. Our job is to continue to communicate about this advertising agency. And the way we do that is by loving each other. And to love each other is to be counter to what the world does, which is to hate each other. But we are called to love each other. And that's what the disciples do. And if you look at the book of Acts, you see how they continue to love each other and devote themselves to each other. And that's why Paul is calling us to love each other. Because as a church, if we're disunified, then that's not going to display love. People look at the church and say, well, if they can't get it together, well, I need to be a part of that group. If they hate each other and talk bad about each other and gossip about each other, then why do I need to be in the church? And if people can't have a good, wholesome, you know, marriages and raise their children up with some sense, and that stuff is going on in church, then why do I need to be there? That's the way that we clearly display the love of God. And that is our call. Our call is to do all things in love and to live in a manner of love, so that when people look at us,
they can see Jesus.
They can see Christ.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
And that would cause them to be attracted to say, well, what is different about this person? What's different about this place? Because I've never seen this before. And that's something that you look in the book of Acts, that's something that actually persuades people to want to inquire and to know about Christ and become a part of the church.
Speak, brother. That's
so we have to realize that the enemy doesn't want us to bring more people to be in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
But he wants to cause friction. He wants to cause disunity.
Speak,
and that's
brother.
Why Paul
Amen.
Is writing to them, because he's saying we need to fix these problems, because we need to be acting in love. We need to display love.
Praise God. Praise God. That's good. That's good. That's good. I'm going to give us that conclusion. Amen.
Lastly, as it pertains to love, you know, everybody's not easy to love.
Big brother. You got the strongest man in the house. You got the That's the strongest amen for the day.
And sometimes, you know, my wife can be a witness, but I'm not always easy to love.
Amen.
But sometimes, let me tell you, God will bring, I'll use the term, peculiar people into your life that are completely opposite than you, and it's hard to maybe deal with them. But the reason God does this is because he wants us to learn to love the way he did.
Amen. Only a test.
I have not always been following the Lord.
It's all only a test.
But yet, while I was a sinner, God decided to send his son and to die for me. So yeah, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and gave himself for us. I know you haven't been always lovable. And maybe not always act lovable. But you have to realize that God gave his son for you. So that when you were living in opposition to him, doing things that you would be embarrassed to tell people about.
Speak, brother.
God sent his son to die for you. To give his life for you. Maybe right now you're living and you don't know the Lord. And you're doing things that you're ashamed of or you know you ought not to be doing. But just know that way back on Calvary, God sent his son to come and die for you.
Amen. He knew it all. He knew it all.
And that is love.
Yes.
So we have to realize that we haven't always been lovable.
But
and sometimes God. We still don't act lovable.
But God
still loves us anyway.
But God.
And he sent his son to take care of our ugliness so that we will look beautiful in his sight and we will be lovable people. So that when he looks at us, he sees the son.
Praise God.
So it's important for us to remember the essence of what love is and to love those people in our lives that, you know, it's just hard to love them. But God's given us the power to be able to do that and giving us the command to do that.
Praise God, brother. That's good.
And Paul would testify. He would say, you know what? I wasn't always lovable. In fact, I hated the church. I hated Christ. And I was killing people who loved him were part of his church.
That's right.
But even then, Christ had already loved Paul and died for him. And he lovingly came to Paul, stricken him with blindness temporarily, but he got his attention and he transformed him. So God has taken him and made him a useful vessel. And look at all that he has accomplished for the glory of the Lord. And so God is calling you to do the same thing, to love those who, you know, are very similar to you. Those people are easy to love, but we also got to love those who are not easy to love so that we can continue to learn and be molded to be like Christ and to love the way that he loves. Because that's the goal and the aim, is to make us more like God, to make us more like Christ, so that we can display and be lights in the midst of darkness.
That's good. That's good, man. Love. Amen. That's good.
So, here in 1 Corinthians 16, we have a call to, we have to be ready for service. We have a call for defensive action, offensive action, but we have to always remember that consistent position that God says, love, hold the line, so that in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your hardships, in the midst of the fight that you're waging, that you're also not being concerned about your own interests, but also the interests of your fellow brethren. And I leave you all with that. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you, brother. All right.